I am so glad that you've chosen to join us at this midweek time of Bible study. So if you've got a Bible handy, whether it's electronic or whether it's paperbound or leatherbound, go get it. And as you get it, I would invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking at the life of Paul, but actually the Holy Spirit is going to be looking at our lives during these days. So I'm looking at chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and then I'm going to advance and pull one verse out of chapter 13. So as you get it, let me just give you this introduction right now. God loves to use weak people, and we all have weaknesses. Our Lord's perspective about our weakness is so very different from our own. We think our strengths give us power. However, the opposite is true, at least I've discovered that in my life. God allows your weakness in order to prove His power through you. And that's what God is seeking to say through the Apostle Paul as he was writing the church at Corinth. But the Spirit of the living God is writing this message for you and me. So you've got your Bible in hand, or not, put your listening ears on, because here's what God's Word says. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to begin with verse number 7. Paul said, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake,' he wrote, 'I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling not only tired, but weak. I feel the weaknesses, especially when we have no routine, no rhythm. It doesn't seem like there is a order to life because it gets turned upside down and inside out almost every single day. It's not impossible, it's just difficult. And I feel weak at times. I wonder, not only am I weak physically, but emotionally. And sometimes, to be honest with you, I get down spiritually. And it's a spiritual weakness. Well, I want us to take a look at it. Not only the passage, but I want you to take a look at your life as God looks at you and me. Let's begin this way, okay? Let's first of all identify our weaknesses. You say, "Well, John, yours are different than mine." That's true. So let me make it more personal. Identify your weakness. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe there's a clash in your family. Maybe it's just because you are overwhelmed with what's going on now, with the pressures that we have, having to stay at the house more than you're used to. Whatever it may be, I'm not sure where your weakness is, but I know where mine are. The Apostle Paul called it something very odd and peculiar. He called it his thorn. Did you see that in verse number 7? He said, "I have a thorn in my flesh." Now, commentators and Bible scholars have said through the years that they thought and think that probably it had to do something with his eyes, because he would have someone write the letters to the churches for him, but he would say sometimes at the end of a letter, "I have written this in my own hand." So perhaps it was something troubling his eyes. Maybe it was something else more difficult. Something physical that was ailing him, and he had prayed. Three times he said, "God, help me, God, help me, God, help me." You know, Jesus said something in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He wasn't talking about those that were just so weak that they couldn't get up on their own. He was talking about those who were willing to identify that they needed help, and they needed the strength of the Lord. I wonder, hasn't this time brought us to that moment where we're saying, "God, we obviously can't get it all together. We don't have a cure for the virus at this point. We don't have a perfect plan for re-entering into our economic time of recovery. We don't have all of the answers that maybe some of us are seeking and some prognosticators are telling you is coming. Well, I'm not a prophet of doom. I believe that God has a plan and that His plan is being worked out. He's certainly got our attention in America, here in the Augusta area, and in my own heart as well. Let me make this statement. Your limitation, your weakness is not a sin, changeable character, or a defect, or even a vice. It's not like you just need to get in there and pull yourself up and get things right because maybe you're feeling down and weak in this time and moment. It's not a sin. Paul was admitting, confessing, opening up his life, and saying, hey, I am weak. I am beat up on the inside and sometimes on the outside. And I have come to recognize that God will take my weakness and turn it into strength. Now, that's not just positive thinking. That is a spiritual truth. But we first of all need to identify what our weakness is because then we can put it before the Lord and be specific in our prayers. Let your prayers and supplications come before God with thanksgiving. Our supplications are simply the identified point of the specific need that we have in our life. God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. Not our wants, but the needs that we have. And when we put it before Him, God not only hears us, but God responds. So let's first of all identify our weaknesses. But next, let's not deny our weakness. It's so easy just to say to other people when they ask us, how's it going? Oh, I'm good. Everything's fine. We're all right. You know, we're just getting by. That's where we are. Listen, friend, remember that God is never limited by your limitations. And when you deny your weaknesses, it is perhaps denying God the opportunity to work through those weaknesses to give you greater strength, maybe strength that you have never experienced in all of your life. Consider Peter. Peter who said, I will never, never deny my Lord. Peter who cut the ear off of the soldier who was taking Jesus to a crucifier's cross. Peter who stood strong and made the identification and said, to Jesus, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. That same Peter responded to strangers who said, aren't you one of His? Aren't you one of the followers of this man? He said, I don't know him. I'm not sure what you're talking about. I don't know him. Three times he denied our Lord and the rooster crowed. God knows that every one of us have limitations. No matter how strong we've been in the past in our spiritual and emotional and mental and physical lives, there's a time of testing going on right now. We don't need to say, God, I will never be weak. We need to say, God, I am weak. And when Peter confessed, then God began to work in his life. And Jesus, in his resurrected body, walked back to Peter, gave him forgiveness, and said, I love you. But first he asked Peter, do you love me? And then he told him to feed his lambs, take care of his sheep, and to do what the will of God was for his life. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher of yesteryear. He wrote powerful sermons, and there were thousands of people who would come and listen to him week after week after week. He said these words that I wrote down years ago. It will do us good to be very empty, to be very weak, and so to go about our Master's work. Did you hear what he said? He said it would do us good to be empty. You say, well, what good is there out of an emptiness in life? There's a lot of good because it gives God the opportunity to fill up the weaknesses and the gaps in our life and to come and to partner with us and to take the weaknesses that we have and help us to be strong, not just for ourselves, but for Him and for His glory. So, we've looked at two things. We need to identify our personal weaknesses, and then we do not need to deny our weaknesses. But thirdly, let me share this with you. We need to learn to be content with our weaknesses. Whoa, wait a minute now. Be content with it? be glad. Why? Because the Father knows best. Years ago, there was a television show that said the same phrase, Father knows best. Well, that was an earthly dad, but our Heavenly Father, He knows us better than anybody, and He knows what we need and when we need it and how we are to receive it. You know why? Because all believers are brittle. We're all brittle. We're all weak. It's not just a time and a period and a moment. It's not just a pandemic panic that comes across us and then we're showing our weaknesses as if we never had any before. We all are weak. All God's giants were weak people. I didn't say that. It was missionary Hudson Taylor that said that. Years ago, serving the Savior in unlikely places across the world, he said all of God's giants were weak people. So true. So very, very true. But let me give you another factor here. We've covered that we need to identify our weaknesses. We don't need to deny them. We need to learn to be content with the weaknesses. That doesn't mean we invite them. They're a part of our life anyway. They're coming at us in full force right now. But lastly, I think we must be willing to share our weaknesses. Now, this one's tough because we're a prideful people, every one of us. We're born with a sense of, I can do it, I am doing it, and I will do it. And I know it's a risk. It's a risk to tell other people that, look, I just need some help right now. I'm a part of so many Zoom meetings. Some of you know what Zoom is. Zoom is, of course, the video meeting platform that so many of us are using now. So many small groups, Bible studies, Sunday school classes are using them all across the world to get together. I'm using them with team meetings with my work with the Georgia Baptist Foundation. I'm using them with pastors that are here in the city that I'm close to and that are helping to encourage me. I'm just here to say that there's a time when we're together and we just need to say, I need help. I need help. And that's what it seems is happening to give strength to those who are weak. I know it's a risk, but it's also a relief. It's not a matter of just spilling all of your dirty laundry out across your life and across the life of other people. We don't have to detail everything, but we can simply be willing to share our weaknesses with others. Why? Because then they can bear our burdens with us. They can walk alongside us, be an encouragement to us. If I go around telling everyone that everything is okay, I'm okay, you're okay, then the world is okay, then we're not giving God an opportunity to reach down, help us, and to see and to prove the power of prayer. Consider the Apostle Paul, again, his own life, the one who was writing to the Corinthian church and the Spirit of God that's writing to our hearts and lives right now. His failures were huge. His feelings were like a roller coaster, up and down, his frustrations and his fear. And he was willing to tell others that that's the way life is, but that's the greatest way that God helps us. Now, I mentioned that I was going to share another verse. We've looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and those several verses, but if your Bible's still open or if your listening ears are on, I want to take you to chapter 13. And the fourth verse reads this way. This is Paul still writing. He said, "For to be sure, he was crucified," speaking of Jesus. "He was crucified in weakness, and yet he lives by God's power. And likewise, we are weak in him, and yet by God's power, we will live with him to serve you." When the world thought that the weakest point of the life of Jesus was his crucifixion, it was actually the strength. It was his death and his resurrection that brings about our salvation. And so when you look at others or when you look into your own life and begin to see there's nothing but weakness, understand that God takes the frailest, most difficult times and the most doubtful moments in our life and can turn them for his glory. Do you remember Jacob wrestling? He had a wrestling match with an angel, God's agent. And that angel left him with a limp for the rest of his life. It was a reminder as he prayed, "God, I will not quit this wrestling match until you bless me." Well, sometimes the greatest blessings of God leave us with a limp in life. So what's your limp? What's your weakness? May God use us together as a church, as a people of God, to recognize that when we are weak, His strength can become even greater in our life. Three questions. Then we close. Here's the first. What's your greatest weakness? Oh, you and I are not together where you could confess it to me, but you need to confess it to God and just say, Lord, here's where I'm struggling. Here's where I'm weak. I need you, God. I need your strength. Second question, do you really, really believe that God can use it in your life so that it can become a strength for you? Instead of being a liability, it can become an asset. It can help you to identify with others who are going through the very same struggle as you. And I guess the last question, and the obvious, is my reference when I spoke of Jacob's wrestling match with God. Here's my question. Are you willing to limp for the Lord? You say, no, I want to be strong. I want to run the race without any hindrance at all. Well, of course you do. But sometimes our limp is a sign that we've been with God and God has chosen to bless us. Let's pause to pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the promise of your strength. Thank you that in our times of weakness, you can use it to make us strong again. God, we give you the glory. We pray that each and every one, part of the family of God, will be strengthened together through this time that seems so insurmountable and so overflowing with times of weakness and stress and trouble. Oh God, today we just confess to you, Lord, in our weakness, we need your strength. In the strong and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of this time of Bible study.